Good morning. I'm really happy to be here today, and I hope you are too. Just to think that we're in God's presence, that He is here with us, that He is a good God, and He loves us, and He wants absolutely what is best for us. Our God is worthy to be praised. Amen?
Amen.
If you're visiting with us today, let me explain a little bit about this morning's sermon. According to the New Testament scriptures, the church is overseen by a group of men, often referred to as elders or shepherds or bishops. There are six names in scripture by which they could go by. But we are in the process of selecting additional elders to oversee the congregation. The New Testament scriptures give the qualifications for an elder. For the hierarchy in the New Testament church is Jesus is the head of the church in heaven above. Below Jesus are the elders of each congregation, the only position of authority in the church. And below the elders are deacons, preachers, and members, all on the same level. So Jesus reigns the church from heaven above, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There's no earthly head, and each congregation is overseen by elders. The elders have requested that we as a congregation present names of men who we think would be good as serving as an elder of the church. So we're going over the qualifications of an elder today. Last week we went over the work of an elder. And if you remember, elders are to watch over the flock, that is spiritually, watch over the flock, that is, watch over our souls. Search for lost sheep. If one of us were to drift away from God, they go and find out where we are. And they might need to remind us how important faithful service to God is, or they might need to encourage us to repent and come back to God. They're to lead the sheep, therefore called shepherds. They're to be an example to the sheep of faithfulness to God. God's leadership has always been about caring for and feeding the sheep. Now, in Scripture, many times God refers to His people as sheep and those who oversee the sheep as shepherds. You remember Jesus Himself called Himself the Good Shepherd. So, as we get into the qualifications this morning, there is an additional handout in your bulletin this week. On it is the list of qualifications, which we'll be covering, and it is the form that you're to take up to a man if you want to request he submit his name to serve. You must sign it, and he must sign it before you turn it in. So let's begin. I want to break it down into five categories. The qualifications of an elder include his reputation. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into the disgrace, into a snare of the devil. It says he must be well thought of by outsiders. That is, those outside the church, non-members, must think highly of him. If he doesn't have a good reputation with those outside the church, then what type of reputation will he have within? And would it affect the weaker members to find out his reputation outside if it was not good? So he must have a good reputation. The King James Version says he must have a good report. The New American Standard Version says a good reputation. ESV says he must be well thought of. Well, when we think of that, for what should we look in a man to meet this qualification? Well, his co-workers, his neighbors, and his extended family must think highly of him. He must have respect in the community, and he must not have a hidden double life. He must not present himself well before the congregation and faithful before the congregation, but his private life says otherwise, that he has habits that are not becoming of a child of God. He may teach truthfully in public, but in private, believe something else. He may be gentle in public, but in private, his life is harsh and filled with rage. So in this case, where he presents one image, he out in front of everybody who he's truly not, he just wants to show, make a show, and wants everybody to think how good he is, instead of that being who he truly is. You know, the success of a congregation can depend on none members' reaction to these elders outside the congregation. If they're faithful, they may think he has some strange beliefs, but they have respect for his faith. If he has a bad reputation outside, then would he have a good reputation among us once we hear what is being said outside? And would he be able to faithfully serve and lead us? If outsiders don't respect him, it says he may fall into disgrace. That is a state of dishonor or shame. It says he may fall into a snare of the devil. That is, he may be lifted up with pride and puffed up. So his reputation is important. As we consider men to serve, we need to see what their reputation is. Next, the qualifications of an elder concern his domestic life. That is, we must look at him and his family and how he rules within that family. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 2, it says he must be the husband of one wife. Titus mentions the same thing, the husband of one wife. That literally, it means a one-woman man. He must only have one wife. Now, one wife, that eliminates bachelors from serving as elders, and that eliminates polygamy. He must have a wife who he respects, a wife who feels honored, who feels their relationship is good, a wife feels supported emotionally, mentally, physically. He must have a good relationship with his wife. He must also have children. Timothy says he must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. That is, he must be in control of his household. He must have the respect of his children. He must rule over them well. Titus adds his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery and insubordination. That is, his children are not wild and rebellious. His children are believers. Thus, we realize that he is able not only to discipline his children, but he's also able to lead them to Jesus and present a spiritual home in which they come to believe. So his family relationship is important as we consider a man to serve. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 says he must manage his own household well. Otherwise, how will he care for God's church? If he can't manage his own household well, then how's he going to manage the household of God? How's he going to manage the congregation? How are we going to have respect for him in what he says and teaches and proclaims if he's not practicing what he's preaching? So we look at the man and his family life as we consider. The qualifications of an elder also include his experience. Now, Timothy says that he must be apt to teach. He must be apt to teach. Or 1 Timothy 3:6, he must not be a recent convert. He may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. We'll get to apt to teach in a minute. The King James Version says he's not a novice. Novice, the Greek word literally means newly planted. That is, the man who works as an elder is not a recent convert. Now, the scriptures do not say how many years he has to be a Christian. That may depend on how rapidly his spiritual growth occurs. But it does stress the fact that he cannot have been recently baptized. Because if he just comes to Christ and is put in position of power, he could become puffed up with conceit and fall in condemnation of the devil. What was the condemnation of the devil? His pride and his rebellion against God. So he must not be a recent convert. He must have been must be a Christian long enough to fully understand the teachings and doctrines of God. He must have experience. Qualifications of an elder include his ability. In 1 Timothy 3:2, here is he must be able to teach. Titus says he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. He must be able to teach. He must know God's word well enough to teach it. He must be able to teach it in a way that helps us grow spiritually. He must be able to teach it, we have to say, publicly and privately, because Titus says he must be able to rebuke those who contradict it. And when it is false doctrine is presented publicly, he must be able to rebuke it publicly and teach the truth. So he must be able to teach one-on-one as well as in classroom situations or in group situations or in small groups or in Bible studies. He must be able to inform us what God expects of us. Thus, the qualification is he must be able to teach. And he can gently correct error without being brash and harsh and threatening. Now, the fifth category, the qualifications of the elder, include his character. We're going to spend most of the time here, and we're going to try to go over everything mentioned. The first one is he must be above reproach. Well, what does above reproach mean? It means that his life has no obvious ongoing patterns of sin. His life is above reproach. He's not participating in sin. And if he realizes he is, he must be readily going to repentance and seeking God's forgiveness. He must quickly repent and seek God's forgiveness. It must be above reproach. There will be people at one time or another who will bring accusations against someone else. If his life is above reproach, such accusations will not be able to be substantiated because he's living faithfully before God. So as we consider men to serve as their elders, are they living a life that is above reproach? Next, it says that he must be husband of one wife, which we have covered. Then it says he must be sober-minded. That is, he must be able to think with a clear head. He must be sober-minded. King James has vigilant, which means watchful. He must be able to watch over us with clear thinking. He must not be... I know in Old Testament, after Nadab and Abihu were mentioned of worshiping God with unauthorized fire and God struck them dead, that the very next passage teaches about not drinking alcohol and serving God. So he must be sober-minded and his thoughts are not being led astray or confused by something else which he is doing or going on in his life. Then it says he must be respectable. Self-controlled. He must be self-controlled or self-disciplined. Do you remember Solomon saying, "Whosoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than one who takes a city." Proverbs 16:32. He must be able to control himself. Francis Rebellus says, "How shall I be able to rule over others if I have not full power and command of myself?" This man must be able to control his actions. He must be able to control his impulses. That is in speech. That is in every area of his life, in his spending, in his anger, in his appetites. He must be able to say no to himself if desires come up that are not according to God's will. He must be respectable or orderly. Here, the J.W. Roberts said that a man who is never on time, behind with payments, disorganized in his family and his life, is not qualified to direct the church. How can you respect an elder who's always late to worship? How can you respect an elder who cannot manage his finances and is always behind on his payments? How can you respect an elder whose life and family life is chaos? He's not qualified to lead. He must be respectable. He must be people think highly of and look to. It says he must be friendly or hospitable. That is, friendly to all. The Greek word for hospitable means stranger lover. Now, in the first century, they didn't have motel sixes and hotels on every single corner. They had taverns and inns, which was very dangerous, especially for Christians. So Christians in the towns were to open up their homes for other Christians traveling through, so they would have a safe place to abide. Now, it's different today, but an elder still must be hospitable and love the congregation and love strangers as well. And just as he is concerned over us and our soul, he should be concerned about the soul of strangers. After hospitable, it says he is to be able to teach. We've covered that. Then it says he is not a drunkard, not addicted to wine, not given to wine. It's the depiction of those who linger long at wine, as in Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. He's not be addicted to wine. How can he rule over the congregation if his mind is constantly being altered by drinking alcoholic beverages? He is to be sober-minded. He is to have a sober life. And he is to be able to not be addicted, not just to alcohol, but not addicted to sin, not addicted to money, not addicted to anything that he would put before God. So he's not a drunkard. He's not violent, but gentle. Now, what does that mean? Literally, it means he's not a fighter. Not contentious, ready to contend for the truth. Also with this is not quick-tempered. I don't think I have a slide for that. But not quick-tempered. Oh, there it is. Not quick-tempered. He doesn't have an explosive personality. You can go to this man without fear of him reacting in anger to what you say. He's approachable. You can go to him and you know he will listen to what you have to say and respond rationally and in a calm manner. How could a man serve as an elder if you're scared to go tell him anything because he might blow up? So he's not to be quick-tempered. He's not to be quarrelsome. He's not a lover of money, as Titus adds. He's not greedy for gain. Later in 1 Timothy chapter 6, do you remember what Timothy said? For money is the root, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. He says the love of money is the root. If a man loves money and puts it ahead of God, then he's not qualified to serve. Titus also adds that he's not only that, but he is not arrogant. Have you ever met an arrogant person? They were always right. What they said had to take control. Well, how could an elder be arrogant and lead us successfully? How could he get along with the other elders to lead? He's also, as Titus adds, a lover of good. He loves good things. He loves good works. He loves the good that's being done for the cause of Christ. Then Titus adds, he must be upright and holy. He must walk righteously before God. He must strive to have a holy life. Remember, God said, be ye holy as I am holy. You must see a spiritually minded man. Now, you may look at that list on that sheet and think, how could one man ever meet all of these qualifications? Well, if you'll take a closer look, nearly every one of those qualifications apply to you and me as Christians. That they're qualifications for Christians as well as elders. So when we look for a man, he must be a faithful Christian man. When we look at those qualifications that apply to us as well, we have to look in our hearts and constantly see if we are right with God. And if there's something in our life that is not right with God, then we must quickly respond and repent and seek God's forgiveness. If you're not right in your heart with God today, would you respond and make it correct? If you're not a Christian today, but you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, we have water. You can be baptized, fully immersed, have your sins washed away to arise as a child of God, pure and holy in His sight. If you need to come to our Father, Jesus, His Son, would you respond today as we stand and sing?